In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. I'm going to do a little bit of a repeat of the sermon for Theophany, but I promise I'll add one nuance to it, because I know you all watched it, right? Just kidding. This past week we celebrated Theophany, and today is the after feast, or the Sunday after Theophany. And one of the interesting facets of Theophany, and there are of course many, I was reading a sermon last night and it seemed to go on and on, because that's how I prepare. I read other people's sermons. Usually when we go to be washed, usually when we take a bath, take a shower, we're there to be washed. The water cleanses us. In all of the rituals that we do with water, the water cleanses us. Certainly John, who was out in the wilderness, had a baptism of repentance. And so the people that he called out there were there to be cleansed of their sins. They were to be washed and to be cleansed as they offered repentance, as John as their witness, through the ritual act of being immersed in the water and coming up clean. And this is the way we think about water. This is the way we think about our interactions with God. Jesus flips this on its head a little bit. He goes and he is baptized by John. Now, it is well known within our circles that the greater thing always sanctifies the lesser. Jesus says this to the Pharisees about the gold in the temple. The greater thing always sanctifies the lesser thing. So here we have the incarnate God, Jesus Christ, who walks to be baptized by John, one of his creatures. And you see that John recognizes this immediately, that there's an inequality here. Who is he to baptize Jesus? He knows that Jesus has come to baptize everyone else with fire, he says. That he's not even worthy to loose the sandal straps of Jesus. And yet Jesus comes and he is baptized. And instead of the water cleansing Jesus, because we know that Jesus has no sins being God, Jesus actually sanctifies and cleanses the water. In order to understand this sanctification and this cleansing of water, we have to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and to think about what creation was created for. Now, mankind is the crown of creation, created in the image and likeness of God. And everything in this world, in a sense, was created as a gift to us that we would offer back to God, and that in our life of offering and thanksgiving, we would live a Eucharistic life and be united by the creation with our Lord, with God Himself. So creation was meant to be a means of communion. Creation has always been a means to be of sanctification, a means of connection. That's one of the reasons why we try to, as much as we can, honor the creation. But when Adam fell, creation fell, and it became broken. It became bent against Adam. It became corrupt, and the icon of Theophany, sometimes you'll see dragons in the water. This is the symbolic value of those dragons, is that in the baptism you'll hear, and even in the great blessing of the waters, that send down the Holy Spirit on the waters and disperse the dragons lurk therein. Get rid of any spiritual impurity that can be carried by these waters. Get rid of any other impurity that can be carried by these waters, and make these waters, what? A fountain of life, a fountain of immortality, a healing of soul and body, a connection and growth in God. That's why we bless the waters. We're not simply making magic water that does magic things, that maybe scares demons. What we're doing is bringing creation back to its original state. Now, this action that we do on the waters, calling down the Holy Spirit upon the waters that they may be sanctified, is also something we do in many of all of our sacramental services. Today, we're going to call down the grace of the Spirit upon the holy gifts that we're offering, the bread and wine, and we're going to ask that that bread and wine be made communion, that that be for the healing of soul and body, for the sanctification, for the remission of our sins, for the transformation of our being. The holy oil, the theme is the same. The theme can be repeated with every single element. And as we go around in our daily lives, we're meant to consecrate every single element of our life in Christ in this very same way. Even our relationships, we call down the grace of the Holy Spirit. Even our relationships with our enemies, we call down the grace of the Holy Spirit. And we say, let this enemy be for my sanctification, for my healing, for the transformation, for a deeper connection with you, Lord. Now, in order to grow closer to God, we have a little bit of an issue. God is holy, and we're not. To everybody that I know that's Christian says they want to be closer to God. And it's interesting, there's a pattern that's revealed when people say this. They say, you know, I just really wish I could get closer. I wish I felt more connected. They go, maybe they pray more, they apply more effort to their spiritual lives. And then they come back and they say something else. It's a marvel. Man, I feel terrible. I'm the worst person in the world. I have all these things that get in my way from getting close to God. Now, what's interesting about that is that getting close to God exposes our sins. Trying to grow close to Christ will always stir up the mud and the mess and the impurities that are within us. That's just the way it works. If you want to be close to God, first you got to learn how to hold your nose and face yourself and to see yourself. That's one of the reasons today in the gospel we hear about Jesus after his baptism preaching about repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance, because anytime we want to draw near to the holy God, we are going to encounter our weaknesses, our lack of zeal, our lack of faith, just our general brokenness. As a matter of fact, Christianity isn't a religion of confident people. If we have confidence, our confidence is in Christ. But in ourselves, we recognize that we are broken, we are opinionated. We are sometimes completely blind to the whole situation. We often have unchecked passions within us that rule over us. Passions of lust, despair, anger, malice, whatever it is, all lurking like dragons within our own hearts. And the only way for us to get rid of these is through repentance. Now, one message of repentance for all of you might be that you need to stare at yourself a little more, focus on yourself a little more, and see all of your sins. But that's not what I'm going to tell you today, because that's narcissism. Repentance is about focusing on Christ. It's about focusing on God. It's about when you see your deficiencies, simply acknowledging them, asking for forgiveness, and focusing on Christ. Let's just do a little analogy. Peter's sinking in the water. And because he doesn't have faith, he wants to walk out to Jesus. He doesn't have faith. Instead of looking to Jesus and saying, "Save me," he says, "Oh man, I'm a jerk. I did it again. You know, I thought I could do something, but I couldn't do it." And while he's doing that, he is drowning. But in his panic, he looks up to Christ. Peter repented without thinking about repentance. He realized he didn't have what it takes to walk on the water when he looked up and said, "Save me." Repentance is not so much a narcissistic focusing on our sins as it is a focusing on Christ and asking him to lift us up, to save us, and just like we do with the water, to enter into us, to sanctify us, and to remove the dragons that lurk in the depths of our life. That's what repentance looks like. So as we journey and we go bless the waters today, let us rejoice in the fact that our Lord has manifested himself, that he has shown himself as the Holy Trinity, God incarnate, being baptized in the Jordan, sanctifying the waters, revealing not only the Trinity, but also revealing the path to salvation, the one where God enters in and he cleanses and he washes us and sanctifies us. And then secondarily, today's message of repentance, that any journey towards Christ, any journey towards sanctification, towards communion, towards real intimacy with God, is going to require us to look up to Christ, to acknowledge the faults that are revealed in us, so that he can lift us up and sanctify us and, as I said, kill the dragons that lurk in us, just as he does in these divine holy water. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is.